Hi, and welcome to an hour of Mind Power. This is Donna Sebo, and we have got, I think, a very powerful story to share with you today. Now, what I'd like to do before I go to my guest is give you our toll-free numbers here at bdsradio.com. So if you should want to call in later on during the show, you'll be able to do that. Here they are. Write them down. 877-876-5227 for those of you in the U.S. Canada, 888-810-8322. And our direct line is 530-876-9146. It takes a lot of courage to be willing to speak your own truth. I think it takes a different type of courage to be able to talk about some very heartrending, physically difficult times in one's life. It's not easy. And most of us, typically, will internalize our experiences and share them maybe with only a few. My guest today, Jalene Corbin, decided not to do that. She has a book called Medical Misfit, Doctor, Why Can't You Diagnose Me? It's her personal story, and it's a story that has so many parts to it. I know we're only going to be able to touch on a small amount, but this is significant, and I know you're going to be interested in it. Jalene, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Don. I really feel it's a pleasure, and I thank you for the opportunity.
Well, I think that, again, there's a lot of courage in you as an individual, because so many times we will harbor our discomforts, our ugliness of experience. We will tuck them away. Sometimes people feel embarrassed. They go through all kinds of nonsense. But you have walked a walk of experience that you wouldn't wish on anyone.
That's correct.
And it had to do with health problems that ended up becoming life-threatening. You felt like you were on a medical merry-go-round. Nothing that you were experiencing fit into textbook descriptions. And you were angry with your body. You were angry that you had to even go through this. You were angry with physicians. There's just such a story here that I think is so powerful. Let's talk about, I want to talk about the beginning of your book. And again, for those of you that are listening, Jalene Corbin is my guest. Jalene, where are you located, by the way?
Near Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania.
Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania.
Mm-hmm.
Right at the very beginning of your book, you make a statement that I think is quite profound. You say you must take some of the responsibility for your lost years because of your illnesses. Being a quiet, reserved person, you blindly followed your doctor's instructions even when your body was crying foul. You didn't ask enough questions, challenge treatments when you continued to get worse, or do research to find some answers on your own. Wow. I mean, most people would do the blame game and blame everybody in the universe except themselves. That's pretty powerful as a statement.
But I don't think I would be helping anyone if I weren't totally honest with this book. I decided I wanted to be honest, even if it, and it is still painful at times to talk about it.
Mm-hmm.
But I thought I needed to do this, and I want your listeners to take away something. I want them to take away some self-empowerment that they need to have control over their bodies, too. They need to have a say in their health care. One thing I might mention, the Latin root word for doctor is educate, and that's the true role of a doctor, is to teach patients so they can care for their health and know what to do and listen to their bodies, and listen to their bodies even when a doctor may not agree. And worst thing a woman wants to hear, and we hear it all the time, and I talk to many people, I've done several interviews, is we can't find anything wrong, so basically, we feel like we're being called a hypochondriac, and
mm-hmm.
that's a real put-down, because we know our bodies, and most of us know when something's wrong, and we have to listen to that inner voice and take charge. And I didn't. I believe the doctors were, this is not a doctor-bashing book. I'm going to make that
right.
clear.
That's what was so significant to me. You're coming from such a positioning of integrity, because you are approaching it from a number of different facets. You're approaching it from your own personal positioning of responsibility, as I just read from your book.
Right.
And then you say doctors have a responsibility. what you're dealing with is just so incredibly complex. And I know I've walked a walk of experience of certain things myself, and I'm with you. We just don't question. We don't trust ourselves. And doctors are people.
Right. They're not little gods. But haven't we been programmed almost to believe that we don't dare question a diagnosis?
Yes. Yes, very much so. I can look back on experiences in my life, and I know that I went against my own knowingness. And finally, I would stand up, but maybe there had already been a surgery, maybe there had already been a side effect from a medication or something given. And you went through so much of it. Let's tell our audience, right at the beginning, you were having a high white count, a urinary tract infection, and how were you diagnosed right off the bat?
I wasn't diagnosed properly. I kept going to my GP, my regular doctor, and which is what you would normally do when you first got an infection. And he gave me an antibiotic, and so I would feel better. And then in a few weeks, the infection would come back. And this continued on and on and on. And he ran tests. I had kidney tests. And one time I would go and there would be no trace of an infection. The next time I would go back and there would be, pus in my urine. This is kind of gross, but I'm telling it like it is.
Sure.
And there would be significant findings that I had an ongoing infection, a strong infection. And so this is confusing because I would be going with pain all the time. One time there would be something wrong, the next time there wouldn't. I was dealing with a small baby at that time too. And the doctors even suggested that maybe nerves was, playing a part in this, which upset me because I wanted to be a really good mother. I didn't want to be going through all this. But this went on and on and on until my husband suggested to the doctor that I needed to see a urologist. It was time I see a specialist. All this time I was on strong antibiotics, one after another after another. So he did not want to do this. And this is another thing I want to emphasize. If your doctor doesn't want to refer you when he can't help you, then there's a problem. A doctor should be willing to refer you to a specialist. And my husband especially was very upset. Well, we both were. So we went on our own and went to a urologist. And it was quite an experience. But the bottom line is after they did what's called a cystoscopic exam, they looked inside my bladder and they found out it was totally ulcerated. I could barely walk. I had terrible back pain. And this was very unusual. It's called IC today, but they didn't even really have a name for it at the time I was diagnosed. It was just an ulcerated bladder. He used the words grotesque. He said, "How are you even walking?" He wrote a paper on this, by the way. Mm-hmm. It was so unusual. And I had to have treatments for months and months and actually into years. Part of the treatment went into years because what was happening was when these ulcers stabs literally would fall off, then I would get an infection. Just like if you scab your knee, you have an open wound, mm-hmm. so you're going to get an infection. So that's why one time I would go and it would show up, and the next time I would go and it didn't. So it was really hard to diagnose. But it takes 3 to 5 years today for this to be diagnosed, and many, many, many women are suffering from it.
No.
Not as severely as I am. They don't all have it ulcerated. There's non-ulcerated type, and then they have the classic type, which is what I had, which is just, he said grotesque. He said, the only way I can describe this is grotesque.
Now, I'd like to go a little bit into your background as a high school student, because mm-hmm. in your book, you give a progression, and progression of circumstances. One of the points of awareness that we're coming to is that antibiotics have a purpose, but when you were growing up, they were given like someone would give somebody candy almost. If you were sick, that was the magic wand that was going to fix everything.
Right. And today that still goes on.
Yes. So here we are finally coming to an understanding that if there is a lot of this when we're very young, sometimes it can have something to do with vaccinations. you know, the human body is so complex, and we are just beginning, because of technology, beginning to understand some of this complexity. I want to go back into when you were in high school, because this actually set a tone for what you experienced as an adult. And you were in junior high school, and you were really feeling funny. You did not feel good at all. And you ended up having an operation. Tell us what happened when you were in junior high.
Yes, I ended up, I had swollen glands. I went home. I had no pain at that time. I just happened to look in, I was in gym class, and I looked in the mirror, and I saw that my neck was swollen. So when I told my parents, they reacted nervously, naturally parents would, but went to the doctor, and he instantly decided to perform surgery. I ended up having five surgeries altogether.
Oh, my gracious.
Yes, and antibiotics, and believe it or not, the doctor came to my house every day to give me antibiotics for months upon months upon months. And my last operation that I had was, it wasn't expected or planned. I was taken into the emergency room. As a matter of fact, I don't know whether you want to get into this, but my heart actually stopped. And
yes, that was the experience I wanted you to bring up. You had a near-death experience.
Yes,
tell
I
us
did.
What happened with that.
I'll make this as brief as possible, but during the surgery, apparently my heart stopped, and all I know, now remember, I was at this time between 11 and 12 years old, and although we went to church, I didn't understand a lot about a light, and I was drawn into the tunnel and the light, which we've heard many people talk about. I remember seeing a face, and I wanted to go with this face more than anything in the world, and in my mind, even as that old, I think I knew that it meant I wouldn't be coming back and seeing my parents, but I wanted to go with that light more than I wanted to even be with my parents and my sister. And I remember when I was told that I had to go back, I felt so rejected. I mean, I did not want to go back. It was, I mean, I know we hear these, and it's so difficult to explain what you see. And when people try to tell me I'm hallucinating, I say, I hope one day you have a similar experience. There's no way anyone can hallucinate what I saw. And the bottom line is that after this last surgery is this complex infection, which was a strep through all my lymph nodes, left without any explanation. And all I did was I kept telling the doctors that a light had burned it out, that a light had burned it out. And I told my parents that I didn't say Jesus healed me or God healed me. I just said the light. I stood in this holy light and it burned the infection away. And they were ready to do another surgery because they said, you know, this they couldn't risk. Because I just came back to life, literally.
Mm-hmm.
My parents had been told that I was gone, and they had flowers delivered to the house. And I remember when I went back to my little Sunday school class, the teacher making me stand up and saying, this is a gift. You know, we didn't think Betty would be here again. And my name, that's another name, Betty Jimmy. But anyway, it was a wonderful experience, and it did affect me the rest of my life. I did have a lot of antibiotics that time, though, and that was, again, and unusual as it is, the doctor came to my house. I was young, and I was very, very sick, and he came, and he gave me the penicillin every day. But after this last experience, it disappeared without a trace. I mean, I mean, if anybody had any, no explanation, the doctor said, you know, at first, they didn't believe it. They said, we've got to go in. We've got to remove all these lymph nodes, and we've got to do this because we can't risk this happening again. And I tried to tell my parents what had happened, and I said, I know that, then I did use the word, I said, I know that God did this, and it was this light, and I said, I don't need it. And they had a choice of believing their 11 or 12-year-old, I was between 11 and 12-year-old daughter, or listening to the expert physicians, and they had basically lost me once. So can you imagine the position they were in? It was a difficult job, but they ended up, they finally got one doctor to agree it would be safe to wait, and we waited, and it never reoccurred.
Mm-hmm.
Never.
Well, one of the things, too, that you mentioned with that was such a profound experience, but one of the things you mentioned is that a neighbor told your mom, because you weren't eating, you couldn't eat anything, you were miserable, and she said for you to have buttermilk.
That's correct.
And so when you had buttermilk, you didn't like buttermilk. I mean, this wasn't the favorite food of yours on the planet, but you felt better afterwards. And that played a role later on in your life as an adult, and diet was coming in. I really like what you have to say in your book. You cover so many things, but there's a chapter that you have in your book that I think is so important. And the title of it is Don't Ever Apologize for Being Sick. And you went through so many difficulties for so many years, and nobody could really get to the crux of it. Because of that, you have a very, very strong attitude, just like you stated at the beginning of the show, that we need to take charge and we need to be willing to investigate, and if we can, have an advocate of some type to work with us to do this.
That's correct.
This is something that I think is so very, very important.
Now, this is where I do have a lot of faith, and I believe that God put a doctor. This is where I found a wonderful doctor that helped me, and that went against other doctors, and he did not believe I was a hypochondriac. He wanted to find out what was wrong with me. I had a high blood count, you know, and they just couldn't find an answer. It was just that simple. But he just wouldn't give up, and he kept telling me, he said, like you said, he said, don't ever apologize for being sick. But after a while, you start, and I know this from I've counseled victims of sexual abuse, and somehow we tend to blame ourselves, and I was starting to blame myself that I wasn't responding for being, I wasn't responding as a patient should respond. The medicine, they were giving me the right medicine, but something was wrong with me. Why couldn't the test prove anything? After a while, I started to doubt myself. Mm-hmm. Not for long, but I did. But see, then doctors were placed into my life, which to this day, I have such strong feelings towards them because they stood up against even the medical profession to help me. And this one doctor then sent me to his brother to a diagnostic hospital, a big diagnostic hospital, mm-hmm. where they found evidence that I had what is called a yeast infection, which I think you were tying in with what you said earlier.
Yes, and that is what I wanted to link to, because you were diagnosed with an overgrowth of the organism Candida albicans, and I may not be pronouncing that exactly correct, in your gastrointestinal tract, and the diagnostician, when he was talking to you about it, said it's called thrush or yeast infection, and he said Candida is very important. You need to have it in the body. However, because you have had so much in the way of antibiotics, it went haywire.
Right, overgrowth.
And
very much.
This is something many people are experiencing in different levels today, because of mold exposure, having too much in the way of antibiotics over the years, just a number of different things, dependent on their particular biological system.
Yes.
And what were, you know, with you, when this was found, what then did you have to do?
First of all, I was so happy to have a name for what was wrong with me. It's very easy. It's much easier to fight an enemy when you know who the enemy is. And to be given a diagnosis, at that time, any diagnosis I was ready for. I mean, I was down at the point when they did that to 80-some pounds, and they were ready to do an exploratory. And the doctor even said, I don't think she's ever going to get out of this hospital. They let my two wee little kids come in and see me, really to tell me goodbye. But I can't stress how really ill I was from this. And then through testing and through doing exams and stool specimens, they found that this yeast was growing through my entire intestinal tract. And this was only the beginning, because I was to suffer years and years and years later. But he gave me enough basic information. They started feeding me the other bacteria to try to balance this. It was out of balance. We have the good and the bad. But as one doctor said, when we take an antibiotic, it doesn't have a brain. It can't go just where it's supposed to go. It's going to attack the good and the bad.
Mm-hmm.
And so therefore, it allowed the others to to grow in excess and cause all of these symptoms. And believe me, they are many, many symptoms. And people are they're experiencing this in great numbers today, too. I know many people are.
And here again, buttermilk came in. That was one of the components, and yogurt. But both of those
exactly
just were such an aid to you. Acidophilus, you were taking that. There's just so much good information in your book. It's so informative. And I love one of the sections in your book, and I'm going to quote it exactly. Because you've gone through so many years that you had this challenge. And for those of you who are listening to my guest, it's Jalene Corbin. Her book is called Medical Misfit, Doctor, Why Can't You Diagnose Me? And believe me, when she has written this book, she's written it for the purpose of education, not to bash doctors, not to avoid the positioning of personal responsibility she felt she needed to have. We all grow through our lessons of experience, and she's done this book because she wants you to be aware that if you're facing some health challenges, there are answers, but you need to trust yourself. You need to know you've got to do some research. And, Jalene, I'm going to quote from your book. You said, learn from our mistakes. The next time you have an appointment with a physician, do some research in advance. If you have a specific problem, find out everything you can about the problem. And if you don't understand your doctor's treatment plan, ask questions.
Exactly.
Don't be afraid to learn some anatomy. Tell yourself that it doesn't matter whether or not you are totally correct with your pronunciation of the names of the bones or body parts. You can be close enough so that a doctor will understand what you're saying. After all, many doctors can't spell or write legibly, and yet the pharmacists usually figure out what's been written on the prescription pads. Boy, isn't that the truth. This is so significant because it's a total switch for many, many people. I cannot tell you how many individuals, and I was one of them at one time, would say, well, you know, if the doctor doesn't tell me to do it, I'm not going to do it.
Yes, I think we've all gone through that.
Absolutely. And it's so important. And you know what I have found, Jalene, and I know you have too, if you have a good doctor, then that doctor is going to be interested in what you have to say.
Exactly. And I do take my little list with concerns, and I have a wonderful doctor now, and he looks for my list. I not this real long, you know, manuscript, but just a short list of five or six major concerns when I go, which saves him time and me time and gets right to the point. And I also show him any research that I've done. He works with me as a partner in my health. And when you find a doctor like that, well, I always tell people, spread the word. We need to let people know about doctors who look at you as a human being and not a number. And this doctor does take time. And I'm very grateful that, as I said, it's definitely not a doctor bashing book because many of the doctors were very helpful to me, saved my life.
Yes, and you have information on physicians in your book. You've had a number of comments made by different physicians. They've written letters talking to you, and talking to the people that are going to be reading this book, giving their professional positioning. And in today's world, a physician, there's no way he can read the truckloads of publications. And I'm not joking when I say that. The truckloads of publications that come around.
Right. Especially with the internet.
I mean, there's just so much there. So we do need to have that positioning with ourselves. And I think, just like in any other profession, you're going to have people who are sincere, you're going to have people who are dedicated, you're going to have the flakes of the world, too.
Yes.
And that's with every profession. Now, you talk about GERD, G-E-R-D, and there are a lot of people that experience that. Can you tell my audience quickly what GERD is, G-E-R-D? We've got about a minute and a half here.
All right. Some people would just refer to it as heartburn, but it's when you have it more often, quite often, frequently. It's when the food or the liquid travels from the stomach back up into the esophagus, which is a tube from the mouth to the stomach. And then this partially digested material is very acidic, and it can irritate the esophagus. And it causes a lot of pain. A lot of people sometimes think they're having a heart attack with it. And there are ways too. I talked with a doctor. I also went to a nutritionist and learning what to eat. And I do believe also in seeing nutritionists and even alternative medicine. But I do all of this with my doctor, my you know, regular doctor's approval.
Well, I want to say your book is so informative. You are sharing your knowledge. You're sharing the journey that you've experienced. And again, I think it takes a lot of courage to do that, because so often we don't want to take that kind of positioning. We're afraid to. We're going to be embarrassed. We're going to have a sense of shame for one reason or another. And I think your courage is just admirable. Medical misfit, doctor, why can't you diagnose me? This is a true story by Jaylene Corbin. And I think it is really so good to read. It'll really educate you. Now, Jaylene, what is your website if people want to find out or chat with you further about some things? What, how can they find out more about you?
Well, I have several websites. There's one called rainbowsendpublish.com. Booklocker.com is where they can get the book, too. It's a publisher that I've had 7 books published all by mainline, and I went with this online publisher. They've been absolutely wonderful to help me get the book out in a hurry, and that's booklocker.com. They can also write to Jaylene Corbin at my email address, which is jaylenecorbin@comcast.net. I'll be glad to talk with people. I even have free information that I would like to pass on what you should ask your doctors. I'd be happy to mail.
Oh, that would be fabulous. Again, if you'd like to get in touch directly with Jaylene Corbin, then her email is Jaylene Corbin, and Jaylene is spelled J-A-L-E-N-E Corbin, C-O-R-B-I-N. Let me repeat that one more time. Jaylene, J-A-L-E-N-E Corbin, C-O-R-B-I-N, at comcast.net. And her book, you can also get it at booklocker.com. Jaylene, I'm so glad you were my guest today. I so appreciate your courage. I appreciate the opportunity to have had you as a guest on my show. And keep up the good work. It, every time you speak, every time you share your story, someone definitely is going to benefit. And I'm just so pleased you were able to join me today. Thank you for being my guest.
Thank you for inviting me. It's, again, it was a wonderful opportunity, and I pray people really and truly get valuable information out of this.
Well, I know they will, because it comes from your heart as well as from your experience. This is Donna Sebo. My guest has been Jaylene Corbin. You can email her at jaylenecorbin@comcast.net. We're going to be taking a break. Don't go away. Hey, phone lines will be open now. Don't you go away. We'll be back with the Donna Sebo Show, Donna Sebo speaking, in just a moment. Hi, this is Donna Sebo. And I want to give out our toll-free telephone number if you're in the U.S. If you'd like to call in and let me light up your life with a little bit of insight, here are the telephone numbers. U.S. of A, 877-876-5227. Canada, 888-810-8322. And our direct line is 530-876-9146. Now, I do know we have a caller waiting, but before I go to the caller, I want to let you know that my broadcast next week will be coming from 2 different cities in Alaska. Well, I'll be in Fairbanks, and then I'll be in Anchorage, so the show will be live as usual. And then the following week, I'm going to be in New York. So if you or a friend are in either one of those, I'll be in New York City, in fact, are in any of those areas, and you'd like to meet with me privately for a consultation or would like to talk to me on my phone, you're going to be able to do that. And it's very easy to do. So just give me a call at my office, 800-872-8852. Also, I've had inquiries about where people can see my itinerary. And I want to let you know you can go to my website, which is DelphiInternational.com, DelphiInternational.com, and you'll find all of the good information there about where I am. And also, you can find out about the guests that are coming up. Don't forget also on BBSRadio.com, my itinerary of upcoming guests are listed with a little bit of a story about them. And you can go in there and check it anytime. And the folks at BBS are trying to get all their archives on, and it's a lot of work. And I know that some of you say, gee, we'd like to hear one that was just there in this time or that time or the other. just know that they're getting to them as quickly as possible. They have a lot of shows that they have to do this with, and it takes a great deal of time. So as soon as we can, we'll have those archives up. Well, let's go to our first caller, and I want to welcome you, caller. I'd like to know your first name or initial and where you're calling from, please.
I'm Tom, and I'm from Green Bay, Wisconsin.
Okay, you're in Green Bay, Wisconsin.
Yep.
All right. Now, Tom, what I'm looking at with you is a concern. I feel like I am in a harness, and someone has control of the harness. I have got some movement, but I feel the harness all around my upper torso, and it's like I'm being held in place. And I would say that is something that you're not going to have a lot of control over for a period of time. What you need to understand is that that feeling of being in harness, being sort of immobilized to a degree, not totally, but to a degree, is with good purpose. And I know you don't like it. I know that it's uncomfortable. You would like to be able to shift, move about, be able to make giant strides forward in areas of growth and development that are very significant to you. However, I don't see it happening that quickly. And I think there's a lot of small things in your life that you need to pay attention to. And it's almost as if I'm watching this slow patterning affecting you because you need to take care of the small things. And once you take care of the little things, especially in the personal life, I think you're going to find yourself moving forward quite easily. There is a scar, a very deep scar, that I feel runs from the mind into the heart, and it's affecting you in some way physically. This is a result of some particular experience that you had, I'd say could go back a good 20 years. And when I'm watching it, there needs to be a healing with this. If you don't have a healing, you're going to find that there is a sense of grief that always accompanies you wherever you go. And that's why this inner healing is so very, very important. What the experience is, I do not know. I am not being shown that. But I think it's time to let go of the pain, whatever this is relating to. It's time to let it go. You don't have to carry it anymore. It's not necessary. What would you like to ask me today? And Tom, you'll need to speak up. Your voice is rather soft.
Oh, okay. I'd like to know about my career at work.
All right. What kind of work are you doing?
I'm a mechanic.
What would you like to do with your mechanical skills?
Kind of see where it's going to. If I'm getting a new job or something along the lines of that.
All right. So mechanical employment, or employment in the mechanical arena is what you'd like, correct?
Yep.
All right. What I would like for you to do is to step outside the box. I would like for you to find out about 1, 2, 3 different schools for mechanics. I would like for you to be in contact with a counselor at any one of the schools and find out what is happening in the world of mechanics that is changing that you need to upgrade your education with and about. I think if you are willing to do that, you're going to find not only are you going to be able to step into an arena where your mechanical skills are going to be expanded, but you're going to find that your income is going to be quite, quite good. And you'll be able to do two things. One, you'll be able to be gainfully employed in a job that I think you will pretty much enjoy. It will have a standard environment that you would expect to be in. And then the other is you're going to be contracting to do some very specialized area of mechanical work. And when I'm looking at this, it means that there's going to be some very, very distinct, unique training that I'm seeing you going through. And it will make you a master of many different areas of mechanics, including being able to work on specialty vehicles like antique cars. There's some cars that are going to be specifically in need of particular work that will be, it's like they're high-end cars, very, very expensive cars. And I think, again, you need to be able to investigate what the trends of change are first, and then understand the areas of specialty, and I use the plural for a reason. The areas of specialty will really enhance you, your life professionally as well as financially. And I think you will, after about 8 to 10 years, then graduate into a full-time, independent, contracting position for doing certain kinds of work. And you'll be so busy you won't be able to keep up with it all. You'll actually have people on a waiting list.
Okay, thanks.
You're very welcome. I hope that helped you.
Yep, thanks a lot.
You're very, very welcome, Tom. Have a great day. This is Donna Sebo, and if you would like for me to light up your life with a little bit of insight, give me a buzz. Here in the U.S., 877-876-5227. Or if you're in Canada and you'd like to call, we have a toll-free line for you Canadians, 888-810-8322. We also have a direct line of 530-876-9146. Now, I want to let you know who's going to be coming on with me next week. We just have a dynamic lineup of guests. We're going to be talking about the untold story of Al Pacino. Yes, he is the actor that has just won all kinds of awards. He's incredible as an actor. And 7-minute difference. And we've got Peace of Mind Investor, if you want to know how to be investing in money, and then Dream Craft, how to make things come true. Yes. So many wonderful people. Isn't it a delight just to know that all these great people are out there with so much to share? I love it. I just feel such a privilege to be able to do this broadcast on bbsradio.com. Let's go to our next caller. Welcome to the show. First name or initial. And where are you calling from?
Anne from Luxembourg.
Luxembourg?
Yes, it's in Wisconsin.
In Wisconsin. Wow.
Yes.
My goodness, Wisconsin has it today. Okay, Jan, let's chat for a minute here. What I'm looking at with you, and I have to chuckle because I'm getting the word, this woman is stubborn. When she latches on to something, she is tenacious. When she wants to do a job, she's going to do it right. And I'm just chuckling to myself because I'm aware of a personality around you who just loves you dearly, had known you from the time you were born, and just knew your mother when she was carrying you. The person has passed over. And they just love you with all their heart. And I'm seeing twinkling eyes, and this is a man. And he is saying that he used to watch you play, but when your mother was pregnant with you, he said, you're going to have a handful because this girl is going to have a mind of her own. He knew you were a girl. And it's just wonderful. This man has such a personality. He just is great. And what he's giving me as a specific message to you is, one, you need to know you will never be alone. You are loved beyond your imagining, and two, take time to let go of the past. There is something that is in a belief system that is oppressing you, and it's as if you have bought into a belief. Let's say somebody said, well, you're too old, you can't do certain things anymore. Baloney. If you want to go bungee jumping, nobody cares what your age is. It's up to you. Do not allow other people's fears to impose upon your dreams and your desires. I am seeing this man, and he was of stocky build. He liked suspenders. I don't know who he is. I do not think he was a relative of yours. I just don't think so. But he just had such a strong feeling for you. And what I am seeing him doing is opening up a gate for you. He said, you need to know you are free. You need to know your choices are your own. This is a wonderful man. You don't need to fear being alone because you're not going to be alone. Very important. Now, Jan, I know we're going to be going to a break, dear, in just a moment. Will you stay on the line?
Yes, I will.
All right, Jan. This is Donna Sebo. We're going to be coming back to Jan so she can ask her question. If you would like to call in and chat with me today, here are the telephone numbers. In the U.S., 877-876-5227. From Canada, 888-810-8322. And don't forget, we also have a direct line, 530-876-9146. Donna Sebo here. We're going to be coming back, talking with Jan in Luxembourg, Wisconsin. And then we'll be able to chat with you, too, if you'd like to give me a buzz. Donna Sebo, don't go away. We'll be right back. Hi, this is Donna Sebo. We're going to connect right back to Jan. And let's see, Jan, did you have a question for me today?
Yes, I was sort of wondering what you saw for, like, my financial future.
I don't think you need to be concerned about finances. What is it specifically that you're concerned with regarding your financial future?
I just want to know if everything's going to be all set and we're going to be fine, or if we're going to have problems, you know, financially as a, you know, a husband, wife, and family, or that type of thing.
Let me make a comment about your question. When you are asking a question with this generality,
mm-hmm.
the answer can be very general as well. And I mean this sincerely. I'm not making light of your question.
Mm-hmm.
Your family's going to be fine with finances. However,
okay.
I'm going to take another positioning with this. I would like for you to be aware that you can educate yourself relative to money, and you can look at doing something with investing or a saving program, like maybe investing in a Roth or something like this.
Mm-hmm.
You go ahead and you investigate and then share the information with your husband. The reason
okay.
I say this is for you to have a positioning of liquidity. You need to be able to ask yourself what it is you want,
mm-hmm.
what you really want. You are going to be financially okay. You will always have everything you ever need. If you should want to have a bigger picture of financial security, then start educating yourself so you can start doing something now.
Okay.
Remember, there's a difference. Because some of us will say, as long as I'm comfortable. I was talking to someone the other day, and we were talking about money. And I said, well, what is your idea for what you want? And
mm-hmm.
this was very important because she had never really articulated what meant a lot to her. And she kept sticking with generalities. And I said, name a number. What is a number for you? And finally, she said, you know, that's a tough thing for me to do. I said, just name a number. Because she's very stressed over money. And finally, she said, $50,000 a year would be nice. I said, okay, you've stated a number.
Mm-hmm.
And what it was is, what it was going on with her, I should say, is that she was trying to develop an understanding about building a career and that she is worth that money. Then as
mm-hmm.
we talked more and more, she said, well, I really would like to even have more than that. And she wasn't going off on the deep end saying $5 million or something like this, which is fine if somebody's comfortable with that. But she
right.
said, that's not what I want. I really am not that interested in becoming a multi-millionaire. I said, that's okay, whatever you're comfortable with.
Mm-hmm.
And so then she saw a different objective. She said, for right now, $50,000 a year would be wonderful. This is what I'd like for myself and my family. And I said,
mm-hmm.
fine. But where would you like the dream to grow into? And so then she started wrapping her mind around different concepts and maybe a lifestyle. And she came up with a much, much bigger number. But she said that could happen in about 5 to 7 years. And this is a woman that's in her middle 50s.
Mm-hmm.
So I encourage you, when you're talking about money,
mm-hmm.
know you're going to be fine overall.
Okay.
But really, I think the biggest issue is educating yourself.
Okay.
Am I making sense?
Yes, you are. You make a lot of sense. I love to listen to you. You know, I really think I learn a lot from you.
Well, thank you so much. How did you find out about the show?
Well, I've been listening for quite some time now. The last few months, and I've been regularly listening. And I just think it's really neat, you know, how you can come up and you know, give people these ideas and see what they're seeing in the future, you know, what you're seeing for them. And I think that's just cool. So I have one more question, if you don't mind. I was sort of wondering, you know, do you see me happily married in the future, or do you see a bumpy road?
Hon, let me tell you something about your marriage. It
mm-hmm.
is as down to earth as it possibly can get. And you're
okay.
going to have moments where you're going to feel like, gee whiz, I'd like to hit my husband with a big grouper,
mm-hmm.
a big wet fish.
Okay.
You're going to have moments like that.
Mm-hmm.
This is not, I would say, a partnership that's going to be terribly, terribly romantic. This isn't fairy tale stuff. You're married to a guy who is really very grounded.
Okay.
And you have got an opportunity here to have a very good marriage. You're the one, more than him, you're the one that creates a lot of the changes in the marriage.
Okay.
And that's, I'm not just saying that. I want to empower you so that
mm-hmm.
you know that you have got a lot going for you. And that's why this older gentleman, I think, is so strongly in your environment. I do not know who he is. I like his suspenders. But I don't know who he is, and I don't think he's related to you, but he loves you dearly.
Very good. Very good. Well, thank you very much.
You're very welcome, and thank you for the feedback. You know, if there is a comment button on BBS Radio,
okay.
if you have an opportunity, go in and fill in the information there, and just let us know what you think so we can share it with staff.
Very good. I will do that.
Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
It's my pleasure. Well, I don't think I'm going to have time for anybody else today, so I regret if there's anyone that's wanting to call in, just know we're going to be right back with you on Monday, and I will be broadcasting from Fairbanks, Alaska. I'm also going to be in Anchorage, and if you have any friends or family up in that area and they'd like to meet with me privately, or if you happen to be in that area, just know I will be available for private sessions. Also, I'm going to be in New York City. The following week, I'll be there for just a few days, and I'm also available for private consultations there. So if any of you have, again, the opportunity to live in those fabulous areas of the country, then know that I'm going to have the opportunity to meet with you if you would like to do that. So call my office at 800-872-8852. Now, again, we have a great lineup of guests next week. I want you to know that on Monday we're going to be talking about the untold story of Al Pacino. This is absolutely awesome. It gives an insight into this man, why he has become such an awesome actor. Also, we're going to be talking about the 7-minute difference. Allison Lewis is going to be our guest. 7 minutes? Do you think you have 7 minutes in a day? Hey, you can find things to change your life. Then we're going to be talking about money. Peace of Mind Investor. This was written by Andy Robb. He has got some wonderful attitudes about money, and I just think they're great. And then we're going to be talking with Paul Leverskew. We're going to be talking about dream crafting. Does that intrigue you? I hope so. Then, also upcoming, one of our guests is going to be Mystic Alice. This is a lady in her 70s who is highly intuitive, fun, fun person. And then more Build It Big. We're going to be talking about some women that have made the big bucks. You're not going to want to miss it. And then we're going to be talking also about ghosts of Savannah, Georgia, pubs and taverns and all kinds of fun stories. And then we're going to turn your world around with Jared Rosen. Wonderful, wonderful people. So glad you're able to join me. And we appreciate your feedback. Remember, you can always go touch on that comment button. Tell us what you think of the show. What would you like to hear more about? What's your favorite stuff? And we just want to hear from you. We're here doing this programming because we want to make a difference in your life. I love it. I love you. And I am so glad that you're aware that you're the master of your fate, the captain of your soul. This is Donna Sebo. You have an awesome, awesome day, and we'll be talking with you, don't forget, coming up on Monday. Bye for now.